When David captured the citadel of Zion, Jerusalem was already ancient, but it was scarcely a city, just a small mountain stronghold in a land that would have many names: Canaan, Judah, Judea, Israel, Palestine, the Holy Land to Christians, the Promised Land to Jews. This territory, just 100 by 150 miles, lies between the southeastern corner of the Mediterranean and the River Jordan. Its lush coastal plain offered the best path for invaders and traders between Egypt and the empires of the East. Yet the isolated and remote town of Jerusalem, 30 miles from the nearest coast, far from any trade routes, stood high amid the golden rocked desolation of the cliffs, gorges and scree of the Judean hills, exposed to freezing, sometimes even snowy winters, and to witheringly hot summers. Nonetheless, there was security atop these forbidding hills, and there was a spring in the valley beneath, just enough to support a town. The romantic image of David's city is far more vivid than any facts of verifiable history. In the fog of Jerusalem's prehistory, fragments of pottery, ghostly rock-cut tombs, sections of wall, inscriptions in the palaces of faraway kings, and the holy literature of the Bible can provide only fleeting glints of human life in an invincible gloom, separated by hundreds of years. The sporadic clues that emerge cast a flickering light on some random moment of a vanished civilization, followed by centuries of life of which we know nothing, until the next spark illuminates another image. Only the springs, mountains, and valleys remain the same, and even they have been redirected, resculpted, refilled by millennia of weather, debris, and human endeavor. This much, or little, is certain. By the time of King David, holiness, security, and nature had combined to make Jerusalem an ancient fastness that was regarded as impregnable. People had lived there as early as 5000 BC. In the early Bronze Age, around 3200 BC, when the mother of cities, Uruk, in what became Iraq, was already home to 40,000 citizens, and nearby Jericho was a fortified town, people buried their dead in tombs in Jerusalem's hills, and started to build small square houses in what was probably a walled village on a hill above a spring. This village was then abandoned for many years. Jerusalem scarcely existed while Egyptian pharaohs of the Old Kingdom reached the zenith of their pyramid building and completed the Great Sphinx. Then, in the 1900s BC, at a time when Minoan civilization flourished in Crete, King Hammurabi was about to compile his legal code in Babylon, and Britons worshipped at Stonehenge, some pottery, shards of which were discovered near Luxor in Egypt, mentions a town named Ursalim, a version of Salem or Shalem, god of the evening star. The name may mean Salem has founded. Footnote. The Egyptian pharaohs aspired to rule Canaan at this time, but it is not clear whether they actually did. They may have used these pottery symbols to curse the defiant rulers of their enemies or to express their aspirations. The theories about these fragments have changed several times, showing how archaeology is as much interpretative as scientific. It was long believed that the Egyptians smashed these vases or figures to curse or execrate the places named on them, hence they are known as the execration texts. Back in Jerusalem, a settlement had developed around the Gihon Spring. The Canaanite inhabitants cut a channel through the rock leading to a pool within the walls of their citadel. A fortified underground passageway protected their access to the water. The latest archaeological digs on the site reveal that they guarded the spring with a tower and a massive wall, 23 feet thick, using stones weighing 3 tons. The tower could also have served as a temple celebrating the cosmic sanctity of the spring. In other parts of Canaan, priestly kings built fortified tower temples. Further up the hill, remnants of a city wall have been found, the earliest in Jerusalem. The Canaanites turn out to have been builders on a scale more impressive than anyone in Jerusalem until Herod the Great, almost 2,000 years later. The Jerusalemites became subjects of Egypt, which had conquered Palestine in 1458 BC. Egyptian garrisons guarded nearby Jaffa and Gaza. In 1350 BC, the frightened king of Jerusalem begged his overlord, Akhenaten, the pharaoh of the new kingdom of Egypt, to send him help, even 50 archers, to to defend his small kingdom from the aggression of neighboring kings and bands of marauding outlaws. King Abdi-Hepa called his citadel the capital of the land of Jerusalem, of which the name is Beit Shulmani, the house of well-being. Perhaps the word Shulman is the origin of the Shalem in the name of the city.